We find it so much easier to remember a story than to remember facts or strings of letters and numbers. That's why the best passwords are normally three or four words rather than a random load of symbols. And good stories stay with us for a long time after we first hear or see them, possibly for years. And stories are emotive. They don't just stay up here, they come down here. They get inside our hearts, and they can change the way we live, whether we choose that or not. In fact, when you came in, you'll have seen on the screen different big picture stories, lenses that through which people see the world. And there are many big picture stories like this. For example, the success story encourages us to believe that our life is about getting a good job, a good house, having great holidays. And while these things are wonderful blessings, they aren't what life is all about. Or some people might be driven by a fear story, which portrays everyone as a potential enemy, likely to take advantage. And so for them, life is about staying safe and keeping your distance from people. And while safety is good to a point, life isn't just about staying safe. Sometimes we need to take risks. How we live can be drastically affected by the story that drives us. The big picture story which we've bought into, consciously or subconsciously, and that we believe deep down to be true. I'm picking up this week where Louise left off from last week, when she spoke about whole life worship. That worship should be in and a part of every single thing that we do, day to day, not just when we meet on a Sunday morning. But how do we actually do that? It's all well and good saying this is what we need to do, but it's not a very easy thing to accomplish. What then if we could find a different story to act as that lens through which we see the world? If we could replace our current chosen or unchosen story with a new one? One that would change how we live? Maybe then we could find ourselves living whole lives of worship easily. This is what I want to look at this morning. The passage which Louise just read is Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23. It's taken from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, one of the churches in Greece which he planted on his missionary travels. However, the letter reads quite broadly, and it doesn't seem to be directed at a specific congregation with specific problems like some of his other letters. And so scholars think it's likely that this letter was meant to be circulated very widely to many different churches. So we can view it as what Paul thinks an ordinary church needs to hear, including churches like us. The whole passage is Paul's prayer for the church. He prays three main things. First, he prays that God may give his readers the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know God better. Second, he prays that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened in order that they may know the hope to which he has called them, the riches of God's glorious inheritance in his people. And third, he prays that they would know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. And if you put all those three things together, what he's doing is he's praying that they would have a renewed vision of God's big story of creation, humanity's turning away and falling away from God, our redemption in Jesus, the waiting now until he comes again, and the recreation of heaven and earth when that happens. And it works like this. In knowing God better, Paul's first prayer, we know more of his mercy and love shown by Jesus on the cross as he bought our redemption. In knowing their hope and inheritance in God, Paul's second prayer, they think on to the promised glory when Jesus returns. And in knowing the power they have received through the Holy Spirit, Paul's third prayer, they will remember the part that they have to play now in God's story, to follow Jesus and make disciples of all people in his name. Paul wants these Christians to look to the past, to the cross and their redemption, to look to the future, to the recreation of heaven and earth, and to look to the present and what God would have them do now, guided and strengthened by the Holy Spirit's power. Paul is praying that the Christians in these churches would be recentered on and find their place in God's big story. And this is the story that we need to focus on too. This is the story we need to be the lens through which we see the world. You see the person next to you on the bus not as somebody who will try and rival your success, not as somebody who is a danger, but as somebody made in God's image. And when we see the world like that, we will see our own place in that story, which will help us lead full lives of worship to God, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. At the end of the passage, Paul writes that Jesus fills everything in every way, or in some versions of the Bible, that he fills all in all. If we see Jesus like this, as being all in all, then we can't do anything but embrace a whole life vision for our faith, a vision of whole life worship, because no area of life can be left untouched when we see this vision of Jesus being and ruling over all. But if you've been in church any length of time, and particularly if you've heard me preach before, I expect you'll tell me you've heard all of this already. And you know what? I'm sure most of you have. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't hear it again. Paul started the passage by writing, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, I've not stopped giving thanks and remembering you in my prayers." This reason, which he starts that sentence with, comes from the previous verses. And that reason is that he has heard about their faith in the Ephesians, that he's heard that they received the gospel and they received the Holy Spirit. That is the reason that he's now praying for them. So, he's saying that because the Ephesians heard the gospel and believed and chose to follow Jesus, he's now praying that they will know God's story, know the gospel, know Jesus even more. They know him. They already know all of this. Therefore, Paul prays that they would know it even better. You see, we shouldn't just hear the gospel once and be done with it, but we should be coming back to it again and again and again. We know it, so we should know it more. We should know it better. We should hear it again and again. And that's because the gospel, that Jesus died for us so we can have forgiveness and life in his name, is the very center of God's big story. Now, I'll have to admit, I'm really not into going over old stories myself, like reading books or watching films I've read or seen before. In fact, to my shame, I know that in our house somewhere there is the Hobbit trilogy on DVD, which Kath got me over a year ago, still in its cellophane. Because I've seen them once, so I know what happens. Why do I need to see them again when we're looking for something to watch on the TV? Hang on. When we're looking for something to watch on the TV, if we pick something that I've seen before, I end up losing interest in it and getting bored and doing something else. Because I know what's going to happen. all the surprise and excitement and intensity has gone. So why would I watch it again? I'd rather be doing something else. And it's the same with books. I don't think I've ever read the same book, apart from the Bible, more than once. But I know that for some people, there are those stories that they keep coming back to again and again. Stories which have had a huge impact on their lives. When I first met Kath, who is an avid reader, as well as all the other books she would read, every year there were two books she would read again. John Wimber's biography and God Smuggler by Brother Andrew. Every year she'd read them in January. And the reason she decided that was so she didn't end up reading them more than once. She had to ration how often she would read them because they were such good books and had such an impact on her. And for my generation, for a lot of them, I know that the stories they will keep coming back to are the Harry Potter series, are the films or the books. Do you have a favorite film or book that you keep coming back to again and again? This is what I meant before when I said that stories draw us in and they stay with us. And for Christians, this is what the gospel is and should be for us. It's the gospel that we, the story that we keep coming back to. When we first make that decision to follow Jesus, most of us don't do it because we were convinced of some rigorous theological arguments. But it will be because the truth of the gospel, by the power of the Holy Spirit, had a life-changing effect on us. The truth that I deserve death, but Jesus chose to die in my place, saving me forever out of his amazing love and mercy. Or maybe it was a different aspect of the gospel that hit home for you. Maybe it was because you now knew that God had a plan and a purpose for your life far beyond anything you'd ever imagined. Or maybe it's because you learned that through Jesus' sacrifice, you are adopted sons and daughters of God the Father, and that we have a family in him more perfect than anything that we can experience here with our earthly families. God's big story of the world, of creation, fall, redemption in Jesus, and recreation, is the story of his never-ending and faithful love to the people that he made in his image. And this message is so multifaceted and rich, we can come at it from so many different directions that we can hear it again and again and again, and each time get fresh insight. But even if we don't, no matter how often we hear it, the good news of Jesus is still the same as the day we first heard and accepted it, and the day that we first felt its power and its truth. It reminds us who we are in God's eyes, and it shows us where we stand in his big story. So, to live full lives of worship, then, we need to recenter ourselves on God's story and on the gospel. To remember the reason we first chose to follow Jesus, the reason we're here in the first place, rather than doing something else on a Sunday morning. And then to remember the role that we play as part of this larger story as we go out into our lives. So how do we do that? Well, worship, whole life worship, is our goal. But worship is also the path to how we reach that goal. Because we can lead whole lives of worship by coming back to God's great story in our times of gathered worship here. That's what we saw in the video Louise showed us earlier. Here are our church services. We see and hear and sing about Jesus and God's big story. And our gathered worship isn't just sung worship. It's reading the Bible together. It's praying. It's hearing testimonies of what God's been doing, and it's sharing communion together as we remember Jesus' sacrifice. All of this reminds us and refocuses us on God's big story. And when we revisit God's story, the gospel, and the reason we come to church, we get a renewed perspective on our lives as we leave, as our lives being a part of his story and his mission. And in gathered worship, when we hear and sing about and are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're reminded of God's power in us to use us to bring about his purposes in our lives. So we as people do wrong in God's eyes and deserve death. But Jesus, God's Son, who is perfect and has done no wrong, came to earth to die on the cross in our place because God loves us. 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead, and when we choose to follow him and accept his sacrifice, we too will live forever with him in heaven. We are adopted children of God. He has wonderful plans and purposes for us all. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Nothing can stand against us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And elsewhere, John says that God is love. This is God's big story of the world. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the reason that you're sitting here today. This is the story that changes how we live our lives. This is the lens through which we should see the world. And it's the story that we should keep coming back to again and again and again. So we're going to do exactly that now. We're going to worship together, singing Once Again by Matt Redman. It's a song about Jesus, about who he is and what he's done. But it's about us coming back to that story, coming back to it and again looking at the cross, again thanking God for what he's done, and again choosing to recenter and refocus our lives and giving them up to him. It's a song that you've probably sung a lot before, but as we sing it now, I'd encourage you to really listen to the words. Maybe you'd just rather stand and sing and listen. This is what Jesus has done. This is why we worship him. And this is why we choose, as we leave this building, to give our lives in worship to him. I'm going to pray, and then when I've finished, I'll invite you to stand and sing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the big story of the world that we see as we read your Bible. We thank you that you created the world, that when we turned away from you, that you sent Jesus to save us, that you have plans for us now as we are waiting for him to come again. And that when he does, you will create a new heaven and a new earth, and we will rule with you, Lord. Lord, we pray that that would be the lens through which we see our lives. We see the people that we meet. We see the environment which we're damaging. Holy Spirit, would you guide us this week? Help us refocus on you, on your story, on the gospel, so that we can live lives of worship to you in everything we think and say and do. Give us the strength to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.